we're talking now. Oh, one more thing. It's still, you can still support somebody in the Sharon House 5K. Rick's in it. Gruntler's in it. Gruntler probably won't make the whole 5K, so just support him for 4K. And I'm in it, so feel free and just put in the memo section. And Gruntler's new initials are Bob, so just put in the memo section Bob. Anyway, we're really hitting a new level of this whole thing with the Sermon on the Mount. We've been getting basically the attitudes, the Beatitudes, but now we're getting the behavior. This is what it looks like. And really today, it's what you taught your children. Don't just do the bare minimum. Don't just do the bare minimum. Go all the way. And in that, you know, I remember, and you've heard me say this before, talking to my pastor, Bill Billingsley, when I was brand new here. And when you worked here in the old days, there were only three other employees, and we were all required to be members of Sheridan Hills Baptist Church. And to be quite honest with you, I'd never been in a Baptist church in my life. I didn't know what I was going to encounter. And he's talking a lot about tithing, and I tithe, but I wasn't sure whether you tithe the net or the gross. And so I go out to lunch, and I say, do you tithe the net or the gross? And he starts laughing. And he says, well, actually, tithing the gross is the bare minimum. That's why it says tithes and offerings. It's the bare minimum. And I looked at him, and I said, well, I know it's your net. What do you do? And he said, 20 years ago, I started adding 1% a year to the tithe. And I'm just looking at him, and honestly, I didn't add 1%. I was making $9,500. Rosemary was a public school teacher making $18,000, and then she has the audacity to get pregnant and wants to be a stay-at-home mom, and I'm dying. How are we going to make this? And it was, I didn't add 1% a year. I added 0.5% a year to the penny. I know the angels had to be laughing, and I did that for 40 years. And I'm so blessed. And it doesn't make sense on paper. There are times when we have to go the extra mile. I'm going to embarrass somebody in here. Hugo. We got a car donated to Sheridan House that was the filthiest car we'd... Have you ever seen a car dirtier than that? Oh, Charlie's? Yeah, okay. Well, it was bizarre. And Hugo came, and I don't even want to know how many hours it took for you to clean that car. Refused to take any money. Going the extra mile. Going the extra mile. Wow, going the extra mile. So now, Jesus begins teaching beyond the ceremonial laws and talks about living the way we were meant to live, living the way we were meant to live. Yeah, it's in Matthew. You have heard our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you're subject to judgment. It's one of the Ten Commandments. You must not murder. Do not commit murder. Yeah, so what we're doing today is, that's the letter of the law. And he's saying, now let me give you the spirit of the law. Let me give, what do you do with this? You don't do the bare minimum. You don't do the bare minimum. You've heard that our ancestors were told you must not murder. If you commit murder, you're subject to judgment. But I say, quite honestly, is there's going to be 6 but I says. We'll do one a week. 6 but I says. You've heard this in the Old Testament, and you heard this from the Beatitudes. But I say, take it to the max. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you're subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, wow, I do that a lot, actually. If you call someone an idiot, you're in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you're in danger of the fires of hell. Wow. Not the bare minimum. And can I say, being kind in South Florida, you're an anomaly. No one's kind in South Florida. It's so much better to be, and making people wonder, and hey, you only have 2 items. I've got this cart. Go ahead of me. And the lady waited for Rosemary outside on the sidewalk because she'd never had anybody do that at Publix. Wow, going the extra mile. Jesus is saying, but I say, if you're even angry with someone, this is going to get complicated in a little bit. You're in danger of judgment. You call someone an idiot, you're in danger of being brought before the court. And it's the court of God. The court of God. Not committing murder is bare minimum obedience. As followers of Jesus Christ, we're called to shoot for God's best. If you shoot to live doing God's best, if I do that, I will never find myself doing the worst. I won't even get close. I won't even get close. Yeah. It's the Beatitudes coming alive. Let me get them. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. He blesses those who are merciful. They will be shown mercy. Yeah. And it's almost like he's saying, Bob, how can you not be merciful? I am so merciful with you. I know what goes through your brain. Jesus is saying that the Old Testament condemns murder, but it's the root of inappropriate anger. And the word inappropriate is very important. We're going to see in a minute why. Root of inappropriate anger that can send you to hell, that can cause you to do horrible things. Yeah. There are times, however, I should have written that in there, however, when anger exemplifies righteousness, because we know this. There are multiple times in the Bible where it says Jesus was angry. Multiple times. But the important thing to see, he was never angry at them for what they did to him. That's amazing. Creator of the universe who spoke, all he said, let there be light, let there be ocean, spoke the world into existence, Jesus, and they're beating him and spitting on him and then crucifying him. And I can't imagine the screaming of the warrior angels in heaven and looking down at God like, can we go or what? No, this is what he came to do. He came to die for the sins of man. Yeah, Jesus went into the synagogue again and noticed a man with a deformed hand. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. And can I say, these enemies are the religion people, the rules people, the people who could lose a lot if people follow Jesus, a lot. The wealthy, 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 wealthy Pharisees. Yeah. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. I love this. Jesus said to the man with the deformed hand, come and stand in front of everybody. Just come stand right here. Then he turned to his critics and asked, does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath? Or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save a life or destroy it? But they wouldn't answer him. He looked around at them angrily. Now see, this wasn't because of something being done to him. It was because of a need right in front with this deformed hand, and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to the man, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand, and it was restored. This is amazing. This verse to me, the religions, the Pharisees. At once the Pharisees went away and met with the supporters of Herod to plot how to kill Jesus. They just saw a man's life restored. To plot how to kill Jesus. Yeah, he was angry, and there's a reason, and it makes sense. There are times when anger exemplifies righteousness. Righteous anger in the defense of the defenseless. Righteous anger in the defense of the defenseless. Yeah, it's a walking in and seeing a need that nobody's doing anything about. Nobody's helping. And honestly, sometimes it's driving by, and I've told this story too many times, but it's okay. There was a series in my life where I was the interim at where New Testament and Master's Academy is on Griffin, which is an offshoot of New Testament down in Miami Lakes. And so I would go there to do the first service, and then Rosemary would show up, get out of her car in the parking lot, get in my car, we'd go down together to New Testament in Miami, and then when I finished there, we'd come back up here and get her car, and we came back up to get her car one time, and we're rounding the corner at Griffin, and there's what I assumed was a Muslim lady in her burqa and two little teeny, and please help me pay my rent. And I don't do this much, but I gave her $20, I pulled up, and my intention is I'm giving her a $20 bill, and this is from Jesus to say to this Muslim lady. So I gave her the $20 bill. She grabs my arm, which scared me to death, and says, thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm just looking at her, and dropped Rosemary off. We live over in Rock Creek, driving by Publix where Bank of America is, and I'm pulling in to go to the, and Rosemary says, "You're going to the ATM, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah, how can I not?" So I go to the ATM, take out a bunch of money, and come back up and give it to her, and she's weeping, just weeping. And I'm weeping too, so I just make a U-turn and go home, calling Rosemary saying, "This was awesome." And Rosemary said, "I know you gave her a Sheridan House card, right? Because she's obviously a single mom." I said, "No, I didn't." She said, "You need to go back." And then she said, "No, you shouldn't go back. Let me go. You go back a third time, she'll think you're stalking her." And so Rosemary went to give her the card. She was gone. And she calls me on the way home. I said, "What do you think happened?" She said, "Well, I'm assuming you either gave her enough money to pay your rent, her rent, or it was an angel testing you in your generosity." And I've never forgotten that. The extra mile. Go the extra mile. If you do, don't give people the change in your pocket. The extra mile. And I'm going to embarrass you, Charlie. Charlie and I were having lunch at the Village Tavern, and you gave Patty the biggest tip on planet Earth ever known to man, and she comes running back out and comes to hug me, which, number one, I don't want to be hugged, but number two, it wasn't me, and I'm pointing at him, and you're trying to get away, and she's hugging your head crying, and people are watching wondering, what was that? The opportunity to be generous. Be generous. Be generous. Be generous. Yeah. Yes, exactly right. But I enjoyed embarrassing you anyway. So, righteous anger in the defense of the defenseless. Yeah. You probably. Well, I do have. I have to be careful because he takes care of my air conditioner at home. So I don't want him unplugging it or whatever you do. Righteous anger directed at blasphemy. Directed at blasphemy. Oh my goodness. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration, so Jesus went to Jerusalem. In the temple area, he saw merchants selling cattle, sheep, and doves for sacrifice. He also saw dealers at tables exchanging foreign money. Now, can I say that there's more to this than this? The temple herd in Bethlehem was the massive herd, and what the Pharisees were known to do was I would bring a herd from another, a lamb from another part of Judah, and they'd reject my lamb. And they'd make me buy their lamb, and they made all the money. So it was a huge money maker. It wasn't a matter of having a bookstore in your church. This was a huge money maker. And they were the exchange rate apparently was ridiculous. No, we can't take Roman denarii. And so you give us a Roman dollar, and I will give you 50 cents back. Exchange rate. So the picture here is bizarre. So what does Jesus do? This is one of the coolest things. I would have never expected this. Jesus made a whip from some ropes and chased them all out of the temple. He drove out the sheep and cattle, scattered the money changers' coins all over the floor, turned over their tables. Then going over to the people who sold doves, he told them, "Stop turning my Father's house into a marketplace." One translation says, "a den of thieves," which is a better translation. Then his disciples remembered this prophecy from the scripture, "Passion for God's house will consume me, will consume me." Wow. Yeah, den of thieves. Wow, will consume me. So, there are times when anger exemplifies righteousness. Righteous anger at leaders leading the flock astray. Leaders leading the flock astray. Yeah, and you know this story too. And can I say, there's nothing wrong with having nice things. There's nothing wrong with having nice cars. There's nothing wrong. The problem is people in the ministry, pastors and people in the ministry like me, people look for excuses not to believe and look at seeing what pastors drive or whatever. And so business people, that's part of your uniform. In my world, though, it's not. So I used to do a Bible study up on Federal Highway for the mechanics and salespeople, once a month. And I'm walking out, and he says, do you want to drive one of these for a week? A Ferrari. And I said, is it an adult car? It doesn't even look like an adult car. Is it got a battery or what? And he's laughing. So he says, this isn't your car. I said, no, it's not. He says, so what's your dream car? And I said, in heaven, I'm going to buy Rosemary a pearl white Jaguar. And he goes, oh my goodness, I own Naples Jaguar. Let me do that for you. And I said, I can't do that. I can't do that. And I'll never forget him saying, why should you suffer? And I, because of what people's opinions. And I said, well, not getting to own a Jaguar, I don't believe is exactly suffering, but I appreciate that. But in heaven, I hope you still have the dealership when you're in heaven, because I'm going to get one for her in heaven. And so the whole thing here is we have to be careful of our testimony, especially people in the ministry, because people are watching people in the ministry. And one time when I was getting my, I did a Bible study for the mechanics at Kelly Chevrolet also. One time when I was doing the Bible study and I flipped the keys to Bill Kelly and I had a Chevy and I said, can I get an oil change while I'm in there for an hour? He said, absolutely. And took the keys, I came out. My car's still there. My Chevy, little Chevy Cavalier is still there. And so I said, and this was a Tuesday. He said, we're out of oil. I've got you a loaner. And it was a Daytona 500 Corvette. And I went from there to speak that night at Boca Raton Community. Oh, no, it gets better. I call him in the afternoon. I'm coming to get my car. And he says, we won't have any oil till Saturday. This was a Tuesday. And so that Wednesday night, I'm the interim at Boca Raton Community Church, and I pull up in this Corvette, and people were watching me get out of it, walking over to it. Yeah. Well, I had to crawl out of it, actually, yeah. And I realized, I got to make a statement, because they're not going to get it in the ministry. So we have to be very careful. We don't want to lead anybody astray. Yeah. Blind fools, which is greater, the goal or the temple that makes the goal sacred? What do you guys, he's saying, do you guys get it? It's worshiping in the temple gives you a heart of gold. A heart of gold. Yeah. We're not called to be uninvolved pacifists. We're called to direct our emotion and, yes, anger towards removing things that block people from seeing the love of God. Yeah, the anger can't be because of a personal assault. And when we were trying to get the zoning for here with the town of Davie, and it was a challenge. Well, there were multiple meetings, and many of you came out to those meetings. And a lady who used to live here, she's not there anymore, up against the fence, started the rumor that I'd been having a 20-year extramarital affair. And it got back to me, and I was so upset. I don't know if it was you, Rick, that got me her address or somebody. And I was going over. And Rosemary said, leave it alone. Leave it alone. It made so many people so mad that instead of 50 people showing up for the final meeting, remember? Hundreds and hundreds. And when I came walking to the Davie Town Council and people had their grills out, and they were having cookout, and I didn't know that they were for us, and churches emptied out and sent their people over, and it was a done deal. What she did, he used, because they were so mad. Oh my goodness, Father. Yeah. He, meaning Jesus, did not retaliate when he was insulted. When he suffered, he did not threaten to get even. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. Yeah, no retaliation whatsoever. Left it alone. Of all people that could, and he's sort of, if I'm an angel in heaven saying, I mean, this is the one, and it blows me away. They were so intent on evil that they're coming to get Jesus in the garden, and they ask, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And he says the magic words, I am, which was his name, I am. All the soldiers fall down. How do you get back up and still arrest the man? That's because anger. Anger. Oh my goodness. Ephesians 4:26 says this, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. Deal with it, Bob. And it might be enough of a thing that you're going to have to deal with it every day for days and days and days and days and days. I dealt for anger for years at a physician who misdiagnosed my mom, and she died when I was in high school. And just, anybody else had his first name, and it just got me. Realizing, wow, I'm sure he was upset about it. Not as we were, but wow. And it helped me have a second year of high school. I didn't get out of high school till 19 because I was just so angry, so many fights. And wow, and that's why two of my best friends from high school in Washington, D.C. flew into town separately. What happened to you? You weren't exactly most likely to succeed. And one, Barry, wanted to spend the whole day, flew in on his own Learjet, a billionaire, to Executive Airport, and just asking and asking and asking. I said, oh, man, it's all Jesus. It took me a long time to forgive. It's all Jesus. Yeah. It's not righteous anger when it's used in response to a personal affront or insult. It's not. No. 1 Peter 2:23, Jesus did not retaliate when he was insulted, when he suffered. He did not threaten to get even. He left his case in the hands of God who always judges. Yeah, these attitudes to be, now he's shown us. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. This is how you do it. Show mercy to people who've done stuff to you. Let it go. But also, come alongside mercifully to people who are in need, single moms who are in need. And be aware of the people around you. Rick and I met with a lady this week, and she's a widow, and her husband, a long time ago, was a friend, and I asked, how you doing? And she said, I feel abandoned. I said, what does that mean? Well, all the other couples we used to do stuff with, they don't call me anymore. And I don't get invited to stuff. That broke my heart. That's not scripture. We're to take care of the widows and orphans. So you're in church and you see a widow that, you know, go over. How you doing? Hey, can Rosemary and I take you out to lunch? Is that okay? Can we do that? And we got a widow next door. And the widow next door, my two grandsons love bringing her garbage can in. And she loves coming out. She can hear them laughing while they're bringing it in. And wow. Wow. Yeah. Man. Kent Hughes quote, we are quick to get angry at personal affront, but slow to get angry with sin and injustice. And we need to take the Lord's words at heart. Yeah. But I say, and this is Matthew 5, 22 again. But I say, if you are even angry with someone who is subject to judgment, if you call someone an idiot, if you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you're in danger of the fires of hell. Oh, my goodness. So, number 9. This is when you're thinking, but this isn't fair. You have no idea what they, and you have to fill it in for yourself. That one person you're still angry at, that you got to deal with. You got to get it out. You got to get it out. You got to get it out. Yeah. This is amazing right here. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave it. Leave your sacrifice there at the altar and go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice. Yeah. What that says to me is I've got my check in my pocket for church. I'm getting ready to put it in the box. I'm walking across the parking lot, and Jesus puts something in my mind. Bob, this doesn't pay for your bad attitude. This doesn't get you anywhere. Stop. One of the hardest things ever for me to do was push a huge check back across the table. A man, a non-believer, came in, wanted to talk to me, blah, 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 and he's got a lot of issues with his ex, and very mad, and blah, blah, blah. And then he pushes a very large check, and then he says, will this help me go to heaven? And I said, I'm going to do one of the hardest things I've ever done. I pushed it across the table. It started to stick to my fingers, though, so I wasn't sure what I was going to do with that. Pushed it back, and I said, no, I can't take this check. Jesus doesn't need your money. You need to let go of it. Jesus doesn't need your money. No. Then come offer. Then, after you've dealt with your heart, the attitudes to be, the be attitudes. Yeah. Worship comes from the heart. So we must first be pure in heart before we can properly worship. Forgiving and showing mercy are for you, not for the offending person. Not for the offending person. Yeah, God blesses those who are merciful, an attitude to be attitude. God blesses those whose hearts are pure. God blesses those who work for peace. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you're my followers. Be happy about it. For a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. You know, there are things in life when we're guaranteed that we know the outcome we're willing to do. Painful things. I mean, about 60 years ago, I used to work out. Maybe 75 years ago, I don't know how long. And I would work out and work out and work out. Really? No, leave it alone. Knowing that that it's going to have a good result. Knowing I won't have this. Knowing it's going to have a good... And so you're willing to just kill yourself. Kill yourself to do it. Going after it. I need to know that there's an inconceivable waiting for me in heaven. Welcome home, son. That's your mansion over there. Welcome home. I need to know so that I'm willing to do whatever. Mike Rittering comes home. We were talking about him. And I said to him, and I saw pictures of where he was living. And it was disgusting. And I said, Michael, he came home for furlough from Burkina Faso. And I said, when are you coming home? And he said, you know, it's the second time you've asked me that. You don't get it. That is home. That's home. I can't imagine heaven for him today. Don't give out of guilt. Don't help people out of guilt. Out of joy. Remember, he called me to be salt and light out of joy for Christ's sake and for his glory and for his glory. Yeah, finally, our quest is to learn the deep meanings of the Beatitudes and then live those meanings out in our daily interactions. Then we will be his light in a dark world. In a dark world. I'm at Lowe's with my two grandsons, and we see an older lady, which is getting difficult for me to see anybody older than me, an older lady pushing a cart out of Lowe's and pushing it up to her car right where you are, and she's trying to get the box out. And Reuben says to me, Pippi, can we go help her? And I said, go for it. And they shouldn't have run over. They scared her a little bit when a 12-year-old and a 9-year-old go running over, and they go running over, and Reuben says, can we help you? Can we get that box for you? And she looked at them, and she looked over at me, and they picked up the box, and they put it in her car, and then they said to her, thank you. And she said, no, thank you. And then she's just looking at me, and didn't get in her car till we were in our car pulling out. She was just bewildered. Took them 5 seconds. Doesn't take anything to go the extra mile.